Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Monday, and I'm here with Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table. All right, it is the Monday after Thanksgiving, and I am very thankful to have Sarah Haynes here. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Brian. I'm thankful for you as well.
Oh, look at that. We're sweet to each other.
I know.
This is great. So you talked about on the show today your Thanksgiving weekend, and you went to Disney World for the first time.
We went to Disney World for the first time as a family.
Yes.
And it was even more magical. You're a Disney fanatic, and we have a few of them on staff. So everyone was so excited for us to go, and they gave recommendations they wanted to hear. But it was extra special because Max had only gone once growing up. And before I worked here, I had also gone, I think, one time in fifth grade and one time in my 20s. Mm-hmm. That was it. So to be able to see your kids at the ages that Disney was absolutely created for, and to watch their excitement and their awe and their, I mean, just it was the best thing as a parent you could get. And it was nonstop. I was expecting meltdowns. I said to you, and you're like, don't worry, just be prepared. We only had two little meltdowns, and that was over not being tall enough to ride a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I knew how upset they were, but I was happily surprised that some of the magic of Disney is it sucks those kids in a way, and the adults actually, to a place that when they spit you back out, you're like, the kids were like, can we move here? And I was like, oh, wow, that was more than just another trip.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm a Disney dad for sure. Like, I love it. But I enjoy it so much with my whole family.
Yeah.
We're going to go around the holidays for the first time this year, too, which is exciting. And But I was so excited for you to go with them and to have them see the castle and see the fireworks for the first time and all that kind of stuff and ride all the rides. What was your favorite standout moment?
Well, there were so many, honestly, Brian, because when I went, again, you don't know on a first-time trip what your kids are going to – I knew they'd love seeing the characters. Like, when the parade came by, it was also funny to see what they reacted to. They all yelled, Peter Pan! And I was like, Peter Pan out of everyone?
That's I told you to watch Peter Pan.
See? And they knew it. They knew everything because of that. But – they got so excited to see Peter Pan, of course, the princesses and the characters and the pointing and the fingers. And it was so cute. But I had no idea. I've always loved rides and roller coasters. I didn't know because Alec can be a little – he's my oldest and he can be a little, like, wary. They rode everything. I was blown away. Caleb's four. He rode Everest. He rode Space Mountain. They rode Tower of Terror. They rode everything and were wanting to come back seconds and thirds. They loved it.
So they are braver than Sunny Hostin is what we
determined. Yes, and Sandra, oh my gosh, this is the cutest, Brian, on Mine Train, which you had given me advice. You said, show them you at the park before you go, because they couldn't quite comprehend that Mickey Mouse lived somewhere and they knew the castle would be there.
Right.
So I kept showing them that clip. Sandra goes, is this the one Sunny rode? And I go, yeah, but baby, she doesn't like roller coasters. And she goes, yeah, I know. I was thinking about how emotional she must have been while I was riding it.
She, much like you, she's very empathic.
She was very empathic. It was just that. I couldn't believe she got off, and that's what she had been thinking about was Sunny.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Very cute.
That's really sweet. Oh, well, that's really exciting. And I heard Max even got a little emotional.
Max got emotional. It was really sweet because his family is like his whole childhood doesn't have the same traditions I had.
Right.
And even though we didn't go to Disney a lot, we did vacations a lot. So I knew the chaos was coming. I knew it would be a lot of work, but I knew it would fill our hearts. And there were a few times where Max stopped and he said, oh my gosh, the best part is their faces. And then at the very end of the trip, he said, you know, I want to thank you for really helping to making it happen, because he wasn't going to be a huge, like, let's go to a Disney World with young kids, you know. He said that was so magical for not only them, but for me. He said everything I experienced, it was like getting your childhood back.
Yeah, it's definitely a core memory for kids when you get to do that, especially the first time. It's really cool.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's so exciting.
Amazing.
Another very exciting thing that happened over Thanksgiving weekend was Dolly Parton performed at a halftime show.
How stunning does she look?
I mean, she basically broke the internet with that performance. And we talked about it. First off, you said she does not have to act her age because there's some controversy about this. She looked amazing. I think that's everyone would say that. But there are some people saying, you know, you're 77 years old. You're in a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit. Is that appropriate? Is that necessary?
Well, one, hell no. But like two, ask yourself in your own body how old you feel. I've never spoken to someone when you say, how old do you feel?
Right.
Like, Brian, I know you're probably eight or like 18. I don't know. But sorry, you act eight. But
Thank you.
You're welcome. But when you ask me, I feel like I'm stuck somewhere in my 20s. So when you look at someone, no one's looking in the mirror and seeing their age. Life doesn't work that way. Aside from it being just inappropriate and awful to say that to someone, what age do you act? Like, it's just, I'm always a little shocked that people feel emboldened enough to crap on other people's lives like that, especially Dolly Parton. She's like royalty.
Well, when I was watching this, because I was glued to football games all weekend, as I often am, and I immediately, when I saw Dolly, it took me back to her last appearance on the show and this thing that happened on the commercial break where you serenaded Dolly Parton, which I think we have a clip on. Let's listen to that.
Thank you, Dolly. Islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between. How can we go sail away with me to another world? We can rely on each other.
That was good.
By the way, I'm Sarah.
I know you, Sarah. I watch the show.
That just killed me a little.
It is a rhyme, you guys.
All right, so this is what some in my daughter's age in middle school might call cringe, but it was also really adorable. So this is happening. So for people at home, she was on satellite. Dolly was on satellite. I was walking behind the stage, and I hear you singing, and I'm like, oh my God, what is she doing? Can Dolly hear her? But then I quickly became, oh my God, are we rolling on this? Because I need to make sure that America sees this, because Dolly was adorable. And the fact, in your reaction when she said she knew who you were, you basically sunk down to under the table, which was amazing.
Well, so I can be very cringe. Max always tells me your potential to mortify everyone around you, including your children, which I take very seriously, is a very high level of potential. I never want to embarrass someone, but I will do anything to watch people laugh and to be joyful. And what was more present in that studio were all those people in seats, not Dolly Parton. I think I could only do that because she was on the screen. And right about the time she said, I know you, Sarah, was when it hit me. Oh, that's Dolly Parton. And like, so I think I hadn't quite reconciled what was happening, because
right.
I was feeding off of everyone laughing in a way. Even Whoopi going, say your name. Just please say your name. I was having one of those middle child moments, and then it hit me. Oh my God, did I just do that? And then I felt heat all over my body.
You're also singing a duet, and I'm like, is she expecting Dolly to join in with her? Like, what is supposed to happen here?
Well, I knew Kenny Rogers wasn't available, so
no.
I was looking for I thought you would. You always said you'd sing the dude part in Grease if we karaoke together.
Yeah, I did have a moment where I almost ran to the table, but I think best that I didn't. But I also, Sunny was talking about how she wishes she, if she could have a talent, she wished she could sing. The two of you are very confident with your vocal gifts in a way that...
Well, I don't feel I have vocal gifts.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does.
What I'm doing is I recognize that in that moment, so many people in their own minds, I think, go through those moments like, what if I did this? What would happen if I once tap danced for Kristen Chenoweth walking off the View set to Popular, and I've never tapped, and I clearly don't have vocal gifts. So, but she was a good sport and hugged me too.
Yeah, she seems like she'd, much like Dolly, be.
It was a little like,
sweet.
Oh, I feel sorry for her. She's so sweet.
Yeah, I think there was a little of that with Dolly
too.
It was
too, a little sympathy.
But she did know who you were, so there's always that.
That is unreal.
Yeah.
That's Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Like,
that's pretty good. And then I heard you also wanted to do this with Shania Twain. Tell me the story.
So this is when it hit me. I was very young. I was a page or just come out of the page program. And I was blown away at the access you have, you know, like in this building and anywhere else. You know, I can walk somewhere, but, you know, security into these buildings is really strong. But I thought, oh, my gosh, if I wanted, like, just for that mortifying moment, almost like a hidden camera moment of if you just started to sing to the person that sings, you might be seeing a theme here.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be my last day if I did this. Mm-hmm. But what if I walked in and I was like, hey, big fan here. And then just started tap dancing. It always has to involve tap because that's just really embarrassing.
Yeah.
And about whose bed have your boots been under? Now, think about just for 1 second, like your friend says, I'm going to go do this. Don't you kind of want to watch the room like as they're like, is this? Oh, my, she who well, I, that pause is what I long for. It's so uncomfortable and amazing.
Yeah, this is why you like the shows that you like and the brand of comedy.
The Falling
you
like. Yeah. And like, yes, yeah. It's so that.
All right. I now have to keep you away from all singers on the show moving forward.
Because I am fighting an urge not to tap to whatever their biggest song is. And it is not pretty.
No, fight that urge, please. You're both cringe and sus. I have a lot of concerns about this.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
All right. Now, we had Chris Evans on the show today. Speaking of cringe, it took everything I had not to
break into Marvel quotes.
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited to have Captain America.
I mean, you
America.
Did bring your shield and everything back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but no one saw it, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God.
he was on and he was talking about his rescue dogs. Now, this is something that's near and dear to your heart because you own two rescue dogs that have since passed away, Peter and Trixie. Was rescuing important to you?
Always. When you walk into a shelter and you see dogs, just perfectly good dogs, nothing's wrong with these dogs. I mean, some are old and some have, but even those dogs, you look at the innocence, they just want to love someone. That's all they've ever wanted. And I once did segments on the Today Show with a dog behaviorist named Tamar Geller. And every time she did a segment, and this was when I was learning how to produce, she would only use kill shelter animals because she knew that the TV rate of adoption was 100%. So I asked if I could help her go get the dogs. And so she has to pick out certain ones because you're doing behavioral things. I barely could walk through that because as I looked at every set of big eyes, some had kind of given up and sat in the back of their cages. Some were eager. All they wanted was a home. And I mean, like, rescuing was big before that. I've always rescued. I will always rescue. It kills me that there are so many homeless people, obviously, but then you look at these little animals that just are, a lot of people get them for a friend, especially after a movie, and they're like, here, and then they can't keep them, and then they end up in these shelters, and it just,
We had these dogs up for adoption for Alyssa's birthday a couple months ago, and it was great, and I loved the little puppy. I walked out. All the hosts had one.
Yeah.
But then I realized, speaking of the adoption rate being 100%, suddenly, of course, like the dog that Whoopi Goldberg touched was instantly adopted.
Oh,
and
of course.
The one that Joy had, and you, and Sonny. The last one to get adopted was the one that I was with, because who cares about the one I'm
with? But your dog was so cute.
It was very cute, but I was living and dying, checking over and over again, like, who's adopted the dog?
But finally, they got them all. TV has an amazing rate of adoption.
Mine was the last one, but it made it through. Which
doesn't even matter. No one's keeping track. Even the hottest, sexiest podcaster, nobody remembers that it wasn't you.
You think Taylor Lautner's dog got adopted right away? all right. So more importantly, though, about the dogs, I hear that your kids actually think that you birthed them yourself. Which is fantastic.
They do.
And you have not corrected them.
No, because I have to admit that when I was pregnant with Alec, that's my first, I got my first sonogram and I was a little weepy. And I said to Max that a part of me was sad that it wasn't a Chihuahua. Now, Peter had passed and he had passed recently.
Sure.
So he was fresh in my head. And Max, the best part of Max is really cool and he could operate very well, like, without me. But he looks at me with such understanding. He goes, I know, babe. I know. Like, he knows that about me and still is okay. But the kids said, they go, when they tell people, and I refuse to correct them because someday they'll know. And it's only a reality if someone believes it. So they'll say, yeah, mama had two babies before us. First was Peter, then was Trixie, and then was us. And they think I carried them first.
Like, yeah.
You know, so, and why would I ruin that? It's such a beautiful place to imagine I could birth Chihuahuas.
Yeah.
The only time I don't like it is breastfeeding, because a lot of nipples, a lot of things going on at once. At least with a baby, there's only one at a time.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, I think elementary school is going to be interesting for the kids. And
There's going to be a moment there, but I just feel like there are other things they're going to learn and realize,
too. Seventh grade health class is going to be really a wake-up call, but...
And I am willing to work through those issues as they arise. But right now, it is magical. And on the heels of Disney World, I believe anything is possible.
Well,
and so do my kids.
Dogs have been a big theme on the show lately. We had dancing dogs.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, we had Tika, the Iggy, was here last week. We have Triumph, the insult comic dog, coming out.
I love Triumph.
He'll be here soon. And then, most importantly, we're going to have a dog pageant.
I'm a judge.
You are a judge for the host dog pageant. They're all going to come out. There are some concerns. I'm not going to say who's raised them, but there are some concerns about your ability to judge this fairly. It could be anyone that brought these up.
One, why would anyone have thought I could have done that?
Yes.
Why was I chosen? Because my dogs have passed and I haven't rescued new ones, so I'm the only available judge. I'm sorry for everyone involved, but I do have one bias already.
Yes.
So Sonny has two dogs, two, Finn and Harlow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that Harlow is a troublemaker, and I love her for it.
Oh, okay. So, all right, you've got a pro Harlow bias.
Well, Sunny was imitating, like, she'll sit there and call to Harlow. Harlow will slow walk away from her. There's something about it's like a mischievous little child.
Okay.
So, she said Sunny knows me, and she looked at me and was like, "You're gonna love Harlow." And so.
All right, and you know Bernie and Cha-Cha.
I love Bernie. I love Cha-Cha. I've also met Alyssa's dog.
Yeah.
Herbie. Herbie's delicious and adorable. Bernie's a little ornery.
Yeah.
Cha-Cha's an angel.
There's a little bit of a Cha-Cha-Bernie rivalry that goes on, which I'm not sure Joy's aware of it, but Cha-Cha's definitely aware of it. So I'm curious to see how they get along.
The competition of a Sonny Hostin and an Anna Navarro, and then Joy that, of course, because Bernie has an Instagram account, Bernie should win. You know, so there's a lot going on here, but Harlow might already have some bonus points.
All right. All right. Well, don't tell anybody. This is very exciting. So
yeah.
We'll see. You might not be the lone judge. We're working on the details.
Yeah, you might want to balance that out because that was a dumb decision.
I think so. But we'll see what we can do. But that'll be very exciting. The criteria will be announced later.
Do they have to do tricks? What are they doing?
They're going to be simple commands. We're going to work it all out. But at the end, we'll have—
Simple commands.
We'll have, I mean—
Bernie's not going to win this.
Much like the host, none of the dogs follow any commands either. So it'll
be interesting. Cha-Cha does if you speak in Spanish, but the others, I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll find out. But I'm very excited about it. Let's see what else is happening. Oh, on Wednesday, we announced the View mug.
Oh.
It was very exciting.
Did it sell out?
Instantly, before the show was over.
Brian, more than any cast member or anything else on this show, aside from your podcast, the only thing people ask us about is those mugs.
Well, so the mugs sold out. We went back to them. We got more. That sold out a second time. Now they're back available for pre-order again. People are going crazy for the mugs. This is the first mug we've had in a long time with all of your faces on it. It's kind of a big deal in View world.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember the first time your face was on a mug?
Yeah, I think it was awkward. And I can't tell if it was stuck in as an afterthought. It might have been one of those things that if you wash it in the dishwasher, it'll go away.
Yeah.
I think it was budget cuts and they were worried about adding my face because they didn't know about the permanence. So some mugs still show me and others don't. No, I don't remember. Was that my first? Was it the year of the 10 hosts?
Well, so, you know, I have to go back through the archives because we have all the mugs. We have every single one over the 26, 27 years. But there's a whole mythology about the mugs. And then there became this period in time where people thought it was a curse to be on the mug.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to do the mug. I'm not going to name which host it was, but there was a host that forbid her face to be put on a mug because she was convinced that as soon as you put your face on the mug, someone left the show. So there's a little bit of a mythology there. But and it did happen one time. I won't get into too many details. No, not that one. And people can hear you when you whisper. Okay. You're whispering into a microphone. No, it wasn't. No, what happens is.
Wait, who was it?
Well, so one time we had a new mug that we launched and
Paula?
The host changed 2 months later.
Paula?
No, it was Jedediah Bila.
Thank you. So okay.
Two months into the season, Jedediah left. Meghan yep. McCain joined the show yep. and we had a mug that we had to pull off the stands.
Yep, and then it just became like the View with like a Sharpie.
Yeah, and now it's like a collector's item though. I have one in my office.
Because it barely was.
Yeah, the rare mug.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. So if you want to get the mug, there's a link in this episode where you can get
it.
And get on the wait list if nothing else. All right. Thank you for joining me today, Sarah. Tomorrow, I'll be back with Harlow's owner, Sonny. Very exciting. And thank you for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, please go on, leave us a review. 5 stars, 4 stars, nothing lower than that. That's all I really want are 4 or 5 star reviews. And give some comments. Talk about what you like, what you don't like.
And if you see Brian on the street, remember to ask him about his podcast.
Ask me about my podcast. Thank you, everybody.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip,
In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.